And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today. I hope you all are enjoying a great day, and I hope you're enjoying the great news that we're getting, because we just heard today that Patrice Cullors, the head of Black Lives Matter, the one who declared proudly and boldly that she is a trained Marxist, is enjoying the American dream. She's apparently bought 4 homes, I guess raising $90 million from fraudulent Black Lives Matter nonsense, does have its benefits. She's just bought her 4th home, apparently. And, you know, America's such a terrible place. I'm not sure why she would even invest in real estate in our horrible country, but apparently, I guess $90 million gives you some options. I don't know that she's using any of the $90 million, but my understanding is that she comes from a very poor background, so unless she suddenly invented something, innovated something, created something that the whole world is beating a footpath to get to and to buy, she's probably doing okay as a result of all the money poured into Black Lives Matter. And I'll tell you, America's a great country, isn't it? Even the people who hate it do well here. I mean, think about it. I mean, people who hate the country, denounce the country, and a Black woman who denounces the country as a racist, systemically white supremacist nation is sitting on top of a tenth of $1 billion and apparently buying the homes of her choices in various places around the country. I'll tell you, it just warms the cockles of your heart, doesn't it? I mean, you know, you can't make this stuff up, folks. Which, and forgive me if this sounds self-congratulatory at all, but it does kind of confirm and underscore what I've been saying from the very beginning of this, that Black Lives Matter is a fraud. It is a fraud. It is a fraud. Of course, Black Lives Matter, because all lives matter. And the whole country agrees with that. But this Marxist idea of dividing people and slicing and dicing people and pretending that the biggest problem facing Black folks is police brutality, which is a lie, another lie out of the pit of hell, and that somehow, if you say anything other than Black Lives Matter, for example, people have been fired from their jobs for saying, well, all lives matter. And here again, I don't understand quite how we've gotten to a point in our educational system where a logical syllogism is no longer within most reporters' grasp or most of these so-called leaders' grasp. But if all lives matter, then Black lives matter because Black lives are included within all lives. How can it possibly be a contradiction to say that all lives matter? Well, it's not. But the point is, political control over the vocabulary and over the things that people say, and intimidation and extortion and threatening the loss of people's lives, the livelihoods, if they dare say anything in contradiction to what the Politburo has dictated is to be said by citizens. You may say this, and you may say this only, and you will say it in this way, or you will be punished. Well, in the meantime, Patrice Cullors is sitting on 4 homes and $90 million. I'll tell you what. Proof positive just what a terrible place America is, isn't it? Just proof positive. This is what galls me. You know, if the people who were espousing this hopelessness and despair and this slandering of my beloved country were living in the dregs. They were, it could be shown, demonstrably shown to be suffering and in pain and in anguish and victimized by racism. And then you could at least say, well, you know, that's their authentic experience. You can't really argue with their experience, although you might argue with, okay, how did they get there and what are they doing about it? But the people who are espousing this garbage are generally fabulously wealthy, doing tremendously well, enjoying the very best this nation has to offer, and running around whining and moaning about how bad America is. It just doesn't get more absurd than that. It really doesn't. It just doesn't get more absurd. So now, as a result of this years of racial demagoguery, with the new icing on the cake, now that everything is Jim Crow, you know, the filibuster is Jim Crow, you know, the Georgia election law, which merely requires, the only additional requirements is that an ID must now be shown or included in an application for absentee voting. Wow, that's horrible. Clearly that's directed at black people. And you got people like Jim Clyburn, who is, here again, how do people this dumb get elevated? Well, because frankly, I guess it's not really intellectual thickness or stupidity. It's just really venality and deception and a lack of character. And that's apparently how they get elevated. They just lie and cheat and deceive their way into these important positions. Because when this man stands up and says, just look at the history, look at the history, look at the history. Well, I don't need to look at the history. I need to look at what's going on right now. The history tells me nothing about this law. I mean, I guess we'll eventually come to a point where they will say, if you have to go anywhere to vote, that is discrimination against black people because black people don't go as well as other people. I mean, I guess. Yeah, fewer drop boxes is discrimination. That's Jim Crow. There are fewer drop boxes. Well, folks, forgive me for being this explicit, but if you want to go vote, get up off your backside and go vote. I mean, unless you're disabled or you're too elderly to be able to make it. And yes, we make accommodation for those folks. I would never suggest otherwise. But if you are an able-bodied individual, get up off your hind parts and go do what you have to do. I don't get this stuff. We have fewer drop boxes. I've never voted in a drop box. Every time I've ever voted, and I've been voting since I was in my early 20s. And I have never voted at a drop box. I have gone to the polling place every time I've ever voted. And you know what? I never once thought that was discriminatory against me as a black man. Why, as a black man, why should I have to go to the polls and vote? I mean, this is what they're selling. I said it's infantilizing and debilitating people based on the color of their skin and treating them like they're incapable of the most basic responsibilities. Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
Speaker Nancy Pelosi and other Democratic House members considered removing an elected member of Congress and replacing her with another Democrat. That did not happen because the Democrat decided to withdraw, leaving the elected Iowa Republican in the House of Representatives. This incident raises lots of questions. The Constitution does allow Congress to disqualify an election, but that power hasn't been used in decades and has been reserved when there has been some serious misconduct. The congressional election was very close, but that hardly gave the House leadership the right to overturn an election. You may not have even heard about this possible action, which is another reason why I mention it. Imagine if 2 years from now, Republicans gain control of the House and the new Speaker of the House, likely Kevin McCarthy, decided to disqualify an elected Democrat from serving in the House. Do you think the media would ignore that abuse of power? I think we know the answer. The reason for this controversy surfaced because the election was so close. The Republican won over the Democrat by merely 6 votes out of 394,000 votes. The next time you hear someone wonder if one vote counts, remind them of this congressional election that was won by 6 votes. I've done commentaries in the past documenting elections where the margin of victory was even less. This incident also illustrates the need for election integrity. As with any election, there were questions about some of the ballots. Should they be counted or not counted? State legislatures in many parts of the country are currently considering legislation or passing legislation that should make our elections more secure. Sloppy rules and arbitrary changes in election law make contested elections more likely. The election in Iowa illustrates why we need to get it right. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
Go deeper on topics like you just heard by visiting pointofview.net. That's pointofview.net.
Spring Share-a-thon 2021 is coming April 13th through the 15th.
We're so grateful to God for this gift that you have given to the Christian community.
This Share-a-thon, our theme is Romans 15:13. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in Him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit.
We had a house fire on May 4th, and we live in a camper all summer long. And there's two things that never change. One is God's sovereign grace and the words that He gave us in the Bible, and two is the inspiration coming from AFR.
Because of our trust in God, we can face the world with confident hope.
I believe that AFR was a direct answer to my prayers for God's help.
Stand with us and help remind the nation that God is our confident hope during our 3-day Spring Share-a-thon, April 13th through 15th. And thanks for supporting American Family Radio.
Ryan Fisher here. Canada has its own tea party. Dr. Doom doesn't want us eating or drinking indoors even after we've been vaccinated. Antifa sets fire to a federal building with federal agents inside. Looting breaks out in Minneapolis over another police shooting, and the Chauvin verdict is not even in. And we didn't need to sanitize surfaces after all. Next on Focal Point.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
So, folks, we now have another conflagration that's broken out in Brooklyn Center, Minneapolis. Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, I should say. I'm not sure how far that is from Minneapolis, but as you all know, there's a trial going on in Minneapolis right now over the death of George Floyd. So I would say Minnesota is a tinderbox. But we can thank people like Jim Clyburn. We can thank Stacey Abrams. We can thank President Joe Biden. We can thank any number of these racial demagogues for having turned the temperature up to a white hot level, so that any little thing. Now, this, of course, this, a young man died, and that's not a little thing. But the thing is, we just don't know the facts yet. In fact, I was looking at some of the press conference during the break, and apparently there's an allegation that she drew her firearm when she thought she was drawing her taser, and that it was an accidental discharge. Well, here again, I don't know what to make of that. I'll just withhold comment, but I will say this. This rioting and looting and tearing up communities and destroying properties. I was looking at some of the people whose businesses have been destroyed. They too are also, quote unquote, people of color. So which here again just gives the lie to that whole construct. It's just a lot of nothing. They're tearing up people's stores. Here again, it would be wrong no matter whose store they're tearing up, no matter what property they're tearing up. But since this is all about justice for people of color, according to them, and then they go up and tear up the stuff that belongs to the people whose complexions they claim put them in solidarity with the movement. You know, folks, this is just really, this is such demonic confusion that it's hard to fathom that people could be this gullible. So instead of waiting for the facts, once again, you got riots breaking out. They assaulted, they attacked a police station. They called in the National Guard, apparently, or they're calling them in. And by the way, you won't hear the language of insurrection. You won't hear that. You attack a police station, but you won't hear they're trying to overthrow our system. You won't hear that. Even though the people behind that, just as much as anybody who attacked the Capitol, has clearly got that in mind. They clearly have in mind trying to overthrow our present constitutional republic and our constitutional system. But you won't hear that language because that's not the narrative they want to sell. The narrative they want to sell is it's understandable outrage over the injustices. Look, here's reality, and people don't like reality today. The left doesn't want anything to do with reality because they're basically trying to build, it's like 1984, they're trying to build an imaginary construct, and they're trying to have everybody pretending that the emperor has on clothes when everybody knows he's buck naked. Anybody who can see that. But you've got to go along. Everybody's got to go along with this false construct, this narrative that they've come up with. But look, the reality is when you have 1 million law enforcement officers in America arresting 10 to 12 million people every year, on average, the last time I looked at the Bureau of Justice statistics, about 3 million of those folks are black, about 6 million of them are white, again, to use the Bureau of Justice statistics categories. And then, you know, you got a smattering of other in there. Anytime you've got that many interactions with police, and we're not talking about traffic stops now, we're talking about actual arrests, interactions where police are actually taking folks into custody. Anytime you've got that many interactions with that many law enforcement officers, there are going to be times when things are just going to go wrong. And it will be really nobody's fault because all the training in the world can't stop people in split-second situations from making mistakes of judgment and doing things that they look back on and second-guess, say, well, I wish I'd done this instead of that. And you can't avoid situations in which some police officers won't belong in a uniform. They're just not of the right character. I believe that's a very, very, very small minority. But of course, they're out there because it's true in any profession, folks. I'm a minister. There are ministers who should never stand behind a pulpit. I mean, none of us is worthy of it. Don't get me wrong. It's by the grace of God that we are what we are and we do what we do. But some are just frankly out and out depraved and shouldn't be there. I mean, at the very least, if you're standing behind God's pulpit, you ought to be dedicated to trying to always do what is right in His sight, not in your own, in His sight. But you got people, you have preachers who could care less about that. So it's true it's true in the police profession, it's true in ministry, it's true in the medical profession, it's true in architecture. It's how many of you have ever had a bad situation with a contractor supposed to come in and do work for you? And I've met some people who are wonderful folks. I'd call them again because they're just decent and honest and honorable and competent and did a good job and didn't gouge me. And I've met some, man, you regret the day you ever met them. But that's true in every walk of life. That's just life. But we are in such a powder keg now with all of this racial demagoguery and this rhetoric about Jim Crow voting laws and all of this stuff by these demagogues that, you know, they're turning the society into a tinderbox. Now, I think this was in, I think this was in Seattle. It's because they're having some confrontations in Seattle as well. And I saw some video of one this morning in which they had, apparently, I guess it was some Black Lives Matter protesters. It was a counter protest of people saying White Lives Matter. Now, of course, that can only be viewed by the mainstream media in one way. These are white supremacists. These are white racists. These are people who are you know, they're just bad people. But I said something several weeks ago that you may remember. I said, you cannot attack people incessantly and think that they're not going to respond, even if they're wrong. And what is wrong is to attack Americans of European ancestry because it is your judgment, it is the judgment that Black Lives Matter and these other demagogues, that the color of their skin makes them inherently morally inferior, inherently evil, wicked, racist, white supremacist, et cetera, et cetera. So you can't keep spewing that mess and not have people respond to it. And of course, some misguided members of our society are going to respond to it with anger and violence. And I'm not excusing it. Don't get me wrong. I'm not excusing it. But I'm saying you can't expect anything less. People who are already predisposed to an extreme reaction, they might be ordinary people. I mean, people who just living their lives, raising their families, running their businesses, doing their jobs, who also get angry about it and think, well, you know, why am I being judged based on the color of my skin? Why am I being made to feel like a bad guy? I mean, I told you, I think it's one of the most insidious things that we've heard, perhaps since the rise of the Nazis, to say that the problem of life is the white man. I just think that that's bordering on Nazism to me. Because the moment you buy into some sort of racial definition of who's good and who's bad, who's right and who's wrong, you are no better than a Nazi as far as I'm concerned. And yet the left is doing it all the time. Well, you can't do that and not expect people who maybe are predisposed to an extreme reaction anyway to say, well, I'll tell you what, I am not going to be talked about that way and I'm not going to be made to feel inferior because of the color of my skin, et cetera, and may go out and do something wrong. And here again, I'm not excusing it. I'm just saying, with it, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. Let me share this thought that I had with you and see what you think of it. When I come back after the break, we're going to start taking your calls on this and other things. There are a couple of other things I'll mention. What if, when George Floyd died, what if a movement had erupted? Of course, Black Lives Matter started well before that. But what if a movement had overtaken the country saying all lives matter? And that we as Americans must treat each other well. And that even people like George Floyd, who was drug addicted and a little bit on the belligerent side and so on and so forth, his life matters too. And what if we say, you know, the lives of police officers who are killed trying to do their duty when they run across people like George Floyd and it ends up being deadly for the cop, their lives matter too. And the lives of unborn children who are being killed by the millions by Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry, their lives matter too. And all these young Black men dying in the streets of our cities across this country, their lives matter too. And on. It could have been a unifying moment. It could have been a moment that brought us together to try to make ourselves a better society. But instead, the Marxists have taken it over, and it's a moment of nothing but division and chaos. Back in a moment.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
One of the shortcomings of so many people today is the willingness to work and wait. We are in a big hurry. The boy can't wait to become a youth, and the youth can't wait to become a man. It is an extremely helpful attitude, this willingness to work and wait. Haste trips up its own heels, fetters and stops itself, said Seneca. Shortcuts and abridged methods are the demand of the hour. But the way to shorten the road to success is to take plenty of time to lay a good foundation. Hard work, a definite aim, and faithfulness will shorten the way. Don't risk a life's superstructure upon a day's foundation. When an author told Wordsworth she'd spent 6 hours on a poem, he replied that he would have spent 6 weeks. Thomas Carlyle wrote with utmost difficulty and never penned a page of his great histories without consulting every known authority. Every sentence was the sum total of several books, the result of many hours of drudging research in the great libraries. Michelangelo spent 4 years painting the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel, the Pope's private chapel in Rome. But visitors by the million today still marvel at his feat. Daniel Webster was once urged to speak on a subject of great importance. He refused, saying that he was busy and had no time to master the subject. But, replied his friend, a very few words from you would do much to awaken public attention to it. Webster replied, if there be so much weight in my words, it is because I do not allow myself to speak on any subject until my mind is imbued with it. On one occasion, Webster made a very remarkable speech before the Phi Beta Kappa Society at Harvard. He was presented with a book at the meeting. After he had gone, his impromptu speech, carefully written out, was found in the book, which he had forgotten to take away. Alexander Hamilton, the soldier and statesman who served in George Washington's cabinet, once said, "Men give me credit for genius. All the genius I have lies just in this. When I have a subject in hand, I study it profoundly. Day and night it is before me. I explore it in all its bearings. My mind becomes pervaded with it. Then the effort which I make, the people are pleased to call the fruit of genius. It is the fruit of labor and thought." One minister, famous minister in New York, had this to say, "I've been watching the careers of young men by the thousand in this busy city of New York for over 30 years. And I find that the chief difference between the successful and the failures lies in the single element of staying power. Permanent success is more often won by holding on than by the sudden dash, however brilliant. The easily discouraged, who are pushed back by a straw, are all the time dropping to the rear, to perish or to be carried along on the stretcher of charity. Those who understand and practice Abraham Lincoln's homely advice of pegging away have achieved the greatest success." Well, it's a most beneficial trait, this willingness to work and wait. Most of us would be helped by practicing it.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
We're back. The number is 888-589-8840. The fires are raging. Seattle, now Brooklyn Center, Minnesota. We are waiting for whatever the outcome is going to be, and it's already been prejudged by some. And if this Officer Chauvin does not get convicted, we've been told it is going to be trouble. that he better get convicted, that if he does not get convicted, then it is simply a sign of a racist system. Well, if he does not get convicted, and I don't have any idea whether he will or will not be convicted, I think he'll be convicted of something. Whether he'll be convicted of murder or not is another matter. I think he'll probably be convicted of something. But whether he does or does not, it is a matter of the criminal justice system meeting the standards that are required of our system, which is to prove that a defendant committed a criminal act beyond a reasonable doubt. It doesn't change because the defendant happens to be a police officer. And I know there have been injustices in our country, and I know some of them have been racial, some of them just been the corruption that seeps into the system. But we ought to always be trying to hold ourselves to the highest standard, not degenerating back into or regressing into, well, you know, they did it, now we're going to do it. We don't care whether the person is guilty or not. So it's going to be interesting to see. But I will say this, and then I'm going to take your calls, 888-589-8840. People like Patrice Cullors, Stacey Abrams, Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, these people are nothing but the puppets of George Soros, Planned Parenthood, the teachers' unions, the Democrat Party, and whatever masters they have accumulated who pay them to dance to their tune. You know, I became a Republican in Massachusetts back in the early 1980s, and one of the things that I often heard was, he became a Republican because he thinks the Republicans are going to do something for him. You know, and I used to laugh and say, if you knew what it was like to be a Republican in Massachusetts, you wouldn't even say such a dumb thing out of your mouth because, you know, when you became a Republican in Massachusetts, you became persona non grata. Let me tell you. Oh, my goodness gracious. So if I've been thinking, how can I get something out of this? Becoming a Republican would not have been the move to make. You know, so I left the Democrat Party out of a sense of spiritual Christian conviction that I could not be a part of the direction in which I saw them going. And it's just that plain and simple. And I got absolutely nothing out of the deal except the peace of my own conscience and feeling like I had done the right thing in the sight of God. Now, people don't have to become Republicans. Of course, they can just be independents. You don't have to be a part of any party. But I couldn't be a part of a political party that supported things which I knew were categorically against the Word of God. All right, 888-589-8840. Oh, one other quick thing, and then to your calls. Fauci has now said you should not go into a restaurant indoors. You should not eat or drink inside of any sort of establishment like that, even after you've been vaccinated with the two vaccinations if required, and the 2 weeks have passed. You should still wear a mask, and you should not eat indoors. You know, every time this man opens his mouth now, he speaks buffoonery. What is the point of getting the vaccines? All the reports I'm reading are saying that the vaccines are fairly effective. Now, we don't know the long-term effects, of course, but so far, they're effective. We got, I think, 6 months. I think it's 6 months. What is this, April? Well, I've heard that we have 6 months of testing because I guess they came out, what, in January? But somewhere close to that. So they've got some idea now, midterm, how they're doing, and for they're effective for almost all people so far. But what is the point of getting the vaccine if nothing changes? Remember, we're going to have to wear masks until 2022. Somebody said to me, so why not 2025? I mean, you know, what is, I think he just likes to hear himself talk and likes the idea that people pay attention. Well, I tell you what, I'm paying attention only to point out the utter absurdity of the things that he says. Let's come to your calls. Let's go to Nolan in Virginia. Nolan, welcome.
Good afternoon. Just one quick thing. I'm 43 years old. I was born and raised here in Virginia, right outside of Richmond, Chesapeake County. We have very strict voting laws here in Virginia, and I've never felt discriminated against And I think it's just silly. And the people in Georgia, they really need to read the laws, that laws elsewhere are stricter. And the same people who are fussing about the showing an ID to vote, they don't have a problem showing it to get into the strip club.
Oh, Nolan. That's interesting, Nolan. I'd never thought about that one. Are you actually saying that, because I wouldn't know, frankly, that strip clubs require IDs?
I've been, before I got saved, before I got married, and it's very good. As long as you show your ID, you can get in.
Wow.
But at the same time, the same people who fuss about that, they don't have a problem showing that to buy beer, to get into the regular club. You know, it's silly.
How about
you gotta
that,
have
Nolan?
An ID on you at all times. That's how I was raised.
Nolan, I am so glad that you called, and I thank you for being open enough and honest enough to share something that you knew from when before you were saved. Wow, I hadn't even thought about that one, but you're right. Nobody's saying it's discrimination. We should not be required to show an ID before going into the strip club or before buying alcohol. Oh, boy. Thank you so much for the call, Nolan. God bless you. Look, and I feel the same way. I've been voting, my goodness, like I said, since I was in my early 20s, and I have never had a problem, none whatsoever. Thank you for the call again, Nolan. Let's go to Jim in Alabama. Jim, welcome.
Hey, Brother Jackson, my brother in arms and brother in the Lord. I got a question for you.
Sure.
Am I wrong to, when we come up here and start talking about all these laws that they're trying to pass and all this other, like with the homosexual and the lesbian groups, why are we not countering with discrimination? Because they're religiously discriminating against us, and it applies to a lot more than just that. But I've never heard nobody come up talking about how the lawsuits are being filed against this administration for discrimination. They're using discrimination against us. Why can't we use it against them?
Well, look, Jim, you are onto something. You are right. I don't think we have yet mined that for all it's worth. You know, organizations like the Alliance Defending Freedom, ADF, the American, Pat Robertson's group. It's not the ACLU. It's the ACLJ, Americans, I think the American Center for Law and Justice, Liberty Council with Matt Staver, Pacific Justice Institute. There are a lot of organizations that will represent individuals in their suits against the government when their rights are being discriminated against. What you're really getting at is something broader, which is suing the government the moment things like this are implemented, challenging the constitutionality of these laws. I don't think we've done a lot of that, Jim. I think there's a lot more of that to be done. And I think there's room for class action suits in some of these situations as well. Not that nothing's being done or that these issues haven't been raised, Jim, but I think you're right. We are not doing enough to raise the violations of our First Amendment liberties in the passage of these laws, like, House 5. Back in a moment.
I can't think of anyone I know who doesn't like getting a present. The joy of opening a package to reveal the surprise inside is something we look forward to. But it's not just what's inside that makes it special. The thought that goes into the gift really touches the heart. Tim Wildman reminds us that God is the ultimate gift giver and has given the ultimate gift. Read Tim's article, God Has a Gift for You, and please share it with your family and friends. Find it at afa.net/thestand. afa.net/thestand.
American Family Radio newscasts are now available as a podcast.
I'm Rusty Pugh.
I'm Steve Jordahl.
Didn't catch the full story? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Chris Woodward.
I'm Chad Groening.
Didn't have the radio on at the top of the hour? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Charlie Bunch.
And I'm Fred Jackson.
Get accurate news from a Christian perspective whenever you want it with the American Family News podcast. You can also sign up for our daily news brief. Visit onenewsnow.com.
The following are real-life stories from Trinity Debt Management.
My story begins with debt, a lot of debt.
I used my credit cards as a source of income.
It was not a good situation.
I couldn't pay my bills.
The interest on the cards was really high.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
I initially was scared to call, and immediately I felt relieved.
They contacted all of our creditors, and they put us on a plan for success.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
I've been able to pay off close to $15,000.
We're doing a lot better.
Please pick up the phone and see how affordable and easy it is to pay off your debt.
It's a godsend.
We're debt-free for keeps.
Call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
What you see at the very beginning of the Bible is God creating that first man. And throughout Genesis 1, as you guys know, you know, everything he's creating, he's declaring to be good.
That's Patrick Schwenk on Focus on the Family Minute.
And then for the first time, we see in Genesis 2 that something that he created was not good. He looks at that first man and says, this is not good. It's not good for a man to be alone. And he gifts him with a wife, with a spouse. The two of them get to do life together. There's something special about doing life together that reflects who God is. And, you know, we oftentimes ask that question of ourselves, is our marriage telling the truth about who God is?
Wow.
And so I think that for whatever reason, God in his wisdom and his goodness gives us this beautiful gift of marriage, this sharing of life together, not just for the sake of one another, but ultimately to reflect his glory, his goodness, his love for us to a watching world.
Your marriage is a witness of God's love to the world. Hear more from Patrick at FamilyMinute.org.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
The number is 888-589-8840. And there's some really heavy stuff going on in Minnesota right now. There's talk that this shooting was an accident. They're concerned that riots are going to break out. And, of course, my concern with all this is that this stuff will spread around the country once again, because this is what happens. You know, often this stuff, it happened with that young man, Michael Brown, in Ferguson. And it obviously happened with George Floyd last year. This stuff has just got to stop, folks. It's just got to stop. And the only way we're ever going to stop it is we've got to defeat the ideology of the left, because they're poisoning the country with this stuff. It's like an explosive catalyst that they put all this racial demagoguery together, and then when something happens, it just drops like a bomb in that location and spreads out. And it's just bad for the country, and it's bad for all of us. And it's just a sad, sad situation. Whatever the outcome, the criminal justice system or whatever mechanisms need to be in place, we'll take care of it. They fired the police officer, by the way, in Brooklyn Center, because I guess they've already determined that they believe it's a mistake. Now, whether the criminal justice system will step in and prosecute her, I don't know. But here again, the ripple effect of this stuff, when we should see it as just part and parcel of the difficulty and danger of doing police work, instead, it's all seen as a commentary on the nature of American society and how racist we are, and that the police are out to kill black folks. I mean, it's a preposterous demagogic analysis, but that's what we're getting spewed into the atmosphere. And people like Stacey Abrams and Patrice Cullors and others, they're nothing but puppets and mouthpieces for the likes of George Soros and his ilk, who want to see American society dismantled. And we're not going to allow it to happen. Okay, let's come back to your calls. Let's go to Gary in Texas. Gary, welcome.
I do, sir. I appreciate all your honesty and show.
Thank you, sir.
But anyway, what my question was how come that for the things that Biden and Harris and the Democrat Party is doing against the American people, how come none of the the Republicans or anything like that has started any type of impeachment trials or whatever?
Well, Gary, the answer to that is simple. Republicans don't control the House or the Senate. That's the reason. So it would kind of be a waste of time to even bring it up. I mean, I suppose they could bring it up, but they don't have the votes to start impeachment proceedings. They don't control any committees. So I think that's the sum and substance of why. Now, of course, if they get control in 2022, will they then begin impeachment proceedings against Joe Biden? That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. I think it will depend on what Joe Biden does. And folks, from my perspective, as far as I'm concerned, what's happening in Minnesota right now is the direct result of Joe Biden standing up, and others, of course, but he's got the biggest bully pulpit, standing up and saying that what the country is doing in trying to put integrity into our voting system so that we all have confidence in the outcome of the vote is Jim Crow. And it's sick. I mean, to me, you're just trying to stir up trouble in our country. You're just trying to divide us and trying to create confrontations and violence. And from my perspective, now that probably is not a high crime and a misdemeanor, but I'll tell you what, to me, it ought to be an impeachable offense. Because a president should not be trying to divide the nation and set people at each other's throats that way and lying to get it done. Thank you for the call, though, Gary. Let's go to Miller in Louisiana. Miller, welcome.
Hey, just wanted to tell you real quick that I got saved around the same time you did in February 15th of 76. And I've been studying the Word since then. And for 45 years, and I've read the end of the story, and this is what I need to say to all believers who are listening to you, is that the day of the Lord is staring us in the face. The rapture ain't going to be another 10 years. And if you look at our nation, we're one of two that was established by the hand of God. One was Israel, and then the other one was this nation by his divine providence from Columbus in 1492 to the Pilgrims in 1620, the Revolutionary War in 1776, and then the Civil War when we freed the slaves, and then late 1800s, the missionary movement of China and India, and then we started turning away in the 1962 when I was in the eighth grade, when the Supreme Court said it was a violation of the Constitution to have school prayer, which it's not. And then 10 years later comes Roe v. Wade, killing 60 million babies. And then 10 years after that, in 82, comes the homosexual movement. If you look back 15 years, you see the quote-unquote church ordaining and marrying lesbians and homosexuals. You see them endorsing women's right to abort. And you see them preaching political correctness, not biblical correctness. Now, there are some solid churches, but the seventh church of Revelation 3:2-3, Laodicean, lukewarm, apostate church.
All right, Miller. Listen, I appreciate that summary history of our country. I don't disagree with you on your compilation there. Whether Jesus is going to come within 10 years, of course, the Bible says no one knows the day nor the hour. I think I would probably argue that means we don't know the year either. It could be earlier. It could be later. You know, who knows? But one thing we know, he is coming back. There is no doubt whatsoever about that. Thank you for the call, Miller. Let's go to Ann in Mississippi. Ann, welcome.
I am.
Yes, Ann, you're on.
Okay. I just want to tell you that back in the 70s, I taught in a correctional school for juveniles, and I had the EMR class, that means educable mentally retarded, 11 to 15 years old, and they did not know the alphabet, and they learned to read immediately. They weren't retarded at all. They just never had been taught, but the point I wanted to make is when I asked them what they wanted to do when they grew up, they all wanted to be policemen. And I thought, I wonder why? And I asked them, why do you want to be a policeman? And they said, because we have a gun. And so my point is, they grew up just like you did, only your daddy rescued you. And what can we expect of children like this if nobody rescues them? Okay.
I'll tell you, Ann, thank you for the call. You are so right. And it shows, too, we're not teaching our children respect for police officers. We're not teaching them the danger that they put themselves into to do that job. I mean, we don't talk about the fact that police officers pull folks over in what they think should be a routine traffic stop. Well, of course, police officers will tell you there's no such thing as a routine traffic stop, but they pull people over and end up gunned down by a person sitting in the car that they just committed a traffic violation. A police officer pulls them over. They walk over to the car and get killed. We don't talk about the fact that they make that kind of sacrifice trying to enforce our laws. The only thing we talk about is what's happening in Minnesota right now. Oh, the police did this and the police did that. But we don't deal with the daily routine heroism and sacrifice and decency and honor and compassion and respect that police officers show. I said, I am 69 years old. I've been accused of having a slightly heavy foot from time to time, but don't believe it. Don't believe it, okay? But I've been pulled over a few times. I have never had a police officer disrespect me, call me out of my name. Look, some of the interactions have been more friendly than others, but it's always professional. It's always decent. But we're not teaching young people today that police officers have a job to do and just respect them in doing their job, and you're not going to have any problems. But you're right. That's not what kids are being told today. All right, let's go to Joe, also in Mississippi. Joe, welcome.
Hello.
Hi, Joe.
Hey there. How you doing, Bishop?
I'm doing great, sir. How about you?
Oh, I'm doing fine. Listen, I appreciate all the work you do.
Well, thank you.
Okay. It's just one thing now. I'm mad with the conservatives.
Okay.
All right. Well, you know, when Mr. Biden got elected, I started raising puppies because I figured all the conservatives were going to need a puppy to help them get over this.
Okay.
It seems like they don't need one, you know? And so I'm mad with the conservatives.
You're not just mad with them because you think they need a puppy. What's the essence of your problem with the conservatives today?
No, it's just because they won't buy my puppies. You know, I figured all of them are going to need a puppy to get over there.
All right, Joe. Thanks for the call. Let's try to squeeze Lee in. Lee in Texas. Lee, you've only got a few seconds, but I wanted to get you in. You've been waiting patiently. Go ahead, Lee.
Yes, Doc, I just wanted to say something, post something to you right quick. Like, I was at a Republican Party meeting this weekend, and I posed a question about the voter ID in Georgia and how Joe Biden said that it was Jim Crow 2.0 of the laws that were implemented, which weren't bad. But then a couple of days later, he was on the gun bill, and what I was saying is that, you know, what he wants to enact on a person to have a gun, it's the same thing as, you know, we Republicans can act Jim Crow 2.0 because a lot of minority people own guns also. And what I was saying was that in Georgia, you know, you're saying that people are being disfranchised, the minority are being disfranchised because...
Hey, Lee, I got to go, but thank you. Call me again, okay? And folks, look, don't let these people hoodwink you into this demagogic nonsense. You stand up for yourself as an American and for other Americans. We are all Americans. We cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.